Folks, welcome back. It's that time again. I want to welcome you to the show tonight, Tuesday, January 17, 2017. And we're excited to bring back, he's no stranger to Mega Man Radio, my good friend. He's a fighter for the Lord Jesus. He wants to take you down to the Holy Ghost Gym because War of the Saints is coming. I'm talking about Pastor Rick Bell. Brother Rick, welcome back, my friend. HeavenlyWarriors.com. How you doing, my friend?
I'm fantastic. 2017 made it. We got here. And now it's time to, you know, the old New Year's resolution to get in shape. We got to go to the gym, but it's a different kind of gym. And what kind of gym am I talking about, Shannon?
It's called the Holy Ghost Gym.
That's right, man. That's where we're going today. Are you ready? You got your workout clothes on?
Brother Rick, I'm ready. You know, so many people make New Year's resolutions and they say, you know what? Right after Thanksgiving and Christmas, I plan to hit the gym. Folks, that's good. We need to get the body in shape, especially the Omega Man, but we need to get the spiritual man in fighting shape because we got a war coming, don't we, Brother Rick?
Yeah, we do, Shannon. We had a reprieve. As you know, there was a miraculous election, and don't think it was anything short of an absolute intervention of God that brought that thing about. So we've got a little more time. It's not going to be the answer that, you know, we want to everything, because we have tremendously strong and diabolical dark forces that are fighting. They were fighting to keep Donald Trump from being elected president, but he was elected, and now they're going to fight him. You haven't seen the fight start yet. Just wait until he's in there and he starts trying to do legislation. You talk about gridlock. You know, gridlock's just another word for disagreement. But that's why we elect people to go in there and do things that the electorate wants. But you haven't seen fighting yet, Shannon, like you're going to see in opposition. And the long knives are going to come out. This has been the preliminary round against Trump. This hasn't even gotten into the real fight yet. You know what I'm talking about.
Rick, you're exactly right on target, man. You know, people forget we've got all these congressmen, House of Representatives, senators. Folks, they're deeply entrenched. They've got their hooks in there. They don't want to leave. And he said that I'm going to do Operation Clean Sweep. We're going to limit congressional terms. Folks, they want to get in there and become lifers. What are you talking about? One term for me. Folks, they're spinning mad. Listen, they're going to do all they can to try to stop him and show them that they got power. And you know what? I never cried before an election like I did this time. I mean, I cried first time ever about an election. And right up to the last minute, I really thought it was over. You know, the New World Order were convinced they were going to get their lady in. And you know what? I have to say, folks, if it had not been for some people praying out there, we would be in a lot worse trouble than we are now. But as Rick says, the battle's not over. It's about ready to begin. And we got a reprieve, as some have said, a stay of execution, as others have said. For how long, I don't know. But folks, we better use this extra time to get down and begin to work out at the Holy Ghost Gym. Amen, Pastor Rick?
That's exactly right. You said it completely and succinctly. We have a time. We have a time window here. And what you saw happen with this election was the possibilities of when focused prayer by God's people comes in bombardment quantities to the heavens. You see, prayer changes and moves things. And we actually caught Satan's people sleeping on this last election. I am sure, you know, the fix was in. Hillary Clinton was set to win. They had done everything to pull all the stops. They had everything planned. It was going to move right into Obama's third term. And that's what was set to happen. But God stepped up and intervened. And what you said about the lifers there, the congressmen and senators who have turned it into a career. You know, it was never supposed to be that. I believe it was Harry Truman who went to the White House, and when he left, he loaded up his car and he and his wife drove off to the farm and retired there. I think the man was worth something like $200,000 when he died. That's all he had to his name. He went to the White House not rich, and he left not rich. But unfortunately, you have a system that's in place there. And what the Lord did with this, he exposed what we've been living under for the last probably 50 years, at least since the 1960s, with the assassination of Kennedy and all that. You know, that was a takeover. That was an internal coup. But we have been pawns in a game. And we've been controlled by the powers that are there in Washington. And all we did was see the complete exposure of that with this election. Because Donald Trump was absolutely so unorthodox. And he didn't need any money. That's what did them in. You see, they couldn't make him play the game because he didn't need their money. And he's the first candidate in history that's ever not needed the money to play the game. So God used him to expose the level of deceit that we've been living under. And it's staggering. I mean, you had an idea. You had a suspicion. We felt all along that we were being lied to. Shannon, did you have any idea of the scope of it until all of these emails began to come out?
Rick, I knew that they were crooked, and I didn't trust her from the offset, but I had no idea how far they would go to try to get Hill's candidate in office. Being over here in Bali, kind of monitoring the election from the TV, watching Fox News, I began to scan the network of these satellite channels, and I looked at Sky News, which comes out of Alaska. I mean, not Alaska, but Australia. The French news channel, Al Jazeera. I was looking at BBC EU, and they were all doing slam jobs on Donald Trump, trying to assassinate the guy's character. And I said, man, you got the whole world coming together. And then, you know, when the New World Order wasn't getting their way, they just got up and pitched a big temper tantrum. And I'm talking about the Bush family, the very man that I voted for in order to stop, you know, the legacy of the Clintons from continuing way back then. They get up and showed their tail, Rick. That really showed me their true colors. When they couldn't get Jeb Bush in, and they saw that Trump was going to get in and going to defeat Hillary, which I believe they were in bed with too as well, all on the same payroll somewhere, they said, we're not going to vote for Trump either. I mean, you got John McCain, who betrayed us during Vietnam. He got on the radio and denigrated America when he was being tortured. I understand torture is not pleasant, but others didn't open their mouth. He did. He's a weasel. And all these others that came out, you know, the secretary of the House Majority Leader, what was his name? I believe another weasel. I'm going to be kind of, I'm just going to call them weasels.
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
You know what? Trump under the bus, you know, Trump put his hand out and tried to make peace with these people, and they wanted no part of it. I believe the masks were pulled off, Pastor Rick, and we see how far this rabbit trail goes. I'm not going to go there tonight, but I believe it goes all the way back to Nazi Germany, the Bormann organization, and you've got the Third Reich that went underground, and they have never stopped, and they've even infiltrated parts of government today, this New World Order cabal in bed with each other. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but
no, it's not a rabbit trail. It's the truth, Shannon. And anyone who's not aware of what you're talking about, they need to educate themselves. Because what we are dealing with comes from that realm, comes from that very origin that you're talking about. Now, it's so far over the average person's head to understand. You get into scalar physics, quantum physics, things that the average person go, I can't understand that. But those are the elements of what is happening. And why, you ask yourself, why would people like the Bushes betray us? Because you're right. I voted for him too. I believed in him. But they were exposed during this election for who they really are. They're all on the same team, Shannon. And it begs the question, well, why would they all be on the same team? What's the end game? What's to gain with this? Because they're already rich beyond our understanding. The Bushes, those families, they're all tied in with the Saudis and the royal families. So it's not money. There's something deeper at work here. And it leads right back to that New World Order, that cabal. And, you know, when you begin to speak of that, people automatically categorize you in that tin foil hat category of kook. Well, you know what? If you would have told someone a year ago, Leon Podesta, Hillary Clinton's staff, they're doing soul cooking at a witch's house. That person would have called 911 and had them send the psychiatric wagon to pick you up. Say, right. This guy's nuts. Well, guess what? That's what they're doing. Okay, why are they doing that? Is it just a hobby like bowling or maybe golf? Is spirit cooking just like, well, I like to go fishing. That's what I do. My hobbies, I bowl, I fish, and I spirit cook. No, it's something much different and much deeper than all of that. And the only way we are going to understand what we're facing is to understand what their goal, what their end game is. And it is the complete setup for the Antichrist system. That's what all of this is. Now, we as Christians, we saw the governmental system of America, which we thought was a democratic republic. We thought we elected people and they went up there and had our best interest at heart. But some little voice inside us always told me, you know, something's wrong with this picture. I don't know about this candidate. He says the right things, but somehow the votes never get to where anything's going to substantially change with the wickedness that's in the land. But that's just the system, so I'll go along with it and vote for him again. You know that feeling you always had. Something's just not right here. Well, God exposed that it wasn't right. It wasn't your imagination. You weren't wearing a tinfoil hat in the kook society. There's something not right with all of this. Now, let me take that to the next logical conclusion. We've been sitting under a government that was not telling us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, it was telling us some of the truth, but it hasn't told us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. By the same token, millions and millions of people who identify as Christians have been sitting under a system, a governmental system, a religious system, in churches all over America that have not told them the whole truth. They've told them some of the truth, but there's a big gap in the knowledge that they need to survive. You see, Shannon, there was a big gap in the knowledge we needed to know how corrupt our government was. And God had to come along and fill in the gaps with that, with this last election and the exposure that's come with it. Well, by the same token, as I've done this ministry, and, you know, I've been with you now, I guess this is my third year. It's been a while.
Sure.
of doing this. It's not a new thing. And the one thing that I hear and experience over and over, you know, at first I thought it was just an anomaly. Well, these people are just being kind and trying to, you know, give me a good word and encourage me. But I heard it over and over and over. And that is, you know, this is the average person, you know, having a conversation with me after I can meet them on the street and spend 5 minutes with them. And look, there's no glory to me. I'm not saying I'm anything. I'm like Paul. I'm the least capable, the least of the least. But I can meet a stranger, and if we talk about stuff, spirit stuff, which we do, you know, as often as we can, that stranger will look at me and say, "You know what you're saying makes absolute total sense to me. But I've been in church for blank blank years, however many, 10, 20, 27, 6. Why have I never heard any of this stuff? Why has no one ever told us this stuff?" This I hear this over and over and over. As I said, at first I thought, well, they're just being, you know, kind. This is some kind of anomaly. So here I am, Shannon, a layperson who has been a truth seeker. Okay, the only difference in me and all of those, you know, churches and ministries and things that I was a part of throughout the years since 1980, when, as you know, I was an atheist and someone laid hands on me and I began speaking in tongues as an atheist and saw a white light and Jesus came while I was an atheist and I was instantly transformed into a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, you know, 21-year-old guy, total personality change. So I've been doing this for a long time. But the thing that I've come to understand is the things that Omega Man teaches, you know, Omega Man Network and the spiritual warfare, this is the truth. This is the answer. This is like the Donald Trump of the spirit world, if you will. Okay, and I know I'm not using him as some sort of a spiritual comparison, but I'm saying that was the Trump represented the truth. Okay? Rough around the edges. He may have, you know, exaggerated some because, listen, that's what a salesman businessman tends to do. They don't mean to out and out lie, but their bravado sometimes, they're a little bit braggadocious because that's how they survive in business. It becomes a habit with them. But he represented the truth, Shannon. He's the first man America has ever had run for president that could stand up there and afford, and I use the word afford because he's a billionaire and he used his own money, who could afford to tell the truth. You see, none of the other guys running for president could afford to tell the truth. They had to have money. They had to have outside money. But Trump could afford to tell the truth, and he had a big enough microphone, and he was outrageous enough that the media jumped at every chance that he wanted to talk, just hoping he'd say something outrageous so they could have a soundbite for the next 10 days. So he had this great platform, and he stood up there and told the truth. Shannon, people gasp at what he said. The liberals literally, they were, you know, having heart attacks, gasping. I mean, I've never seen these liberal commentators, these news people. Their comments after Trump would say another one of his truths, and it was true what he was saying. Just no one else had the guts to say it or the money to say it, but he did. He's a truth teller. He's the first guy that didn't have to be beholden to the people with the money. Now let me extend that. We could use some Trumpism in the pulpits of America. We could use some men who are going to stand up and tell the truth, who could afford, underline that word, afford to get in the pulpit and tell the truth. The problem is, listen to me, the church system, as it is in America, is a business model. I'm telling the truth. It's a model where a building is rented and there are costs associated with running that building. Electricity, utilities, insurance, the monthly rent, the payment on the building unless you own the building. And even if you own the building, then you have pastors' salaries, assistant pastor salaries. You end up having a payroll that is substantial. So all of those things have to be funded. How are they funded, Shannon?
They're funded by the tithes and offerings going to those churches, right?
Absolutely. The people that keep the thing going. So they're beholden to someone, the pastor who stands up there and gets the tithes and offerings. Who do you think he's beholden to? Well, he's answering to God, but he's also answering to, you know, Brother Kenneth, the head deacon out there who controls the purse strings.
That's right.
And he can only teach certain things. He can't get into certain areas because it's going to upset too many of the demons that are in the people sitting in the church. You know what I'm saying? So that whole model it is broken. Now, that's not to say that every church is bad. There's some good churches out there. They're typically smaller churches. I'm sure there are some bigger churches that are also good, but the model of that is a business model. I had a guy approach me several years ago who was a financier out of Florida. And at the time, I was doing seminars around the United States. Actually, I was scheduled to go overseas. I just never wanted to travel. I didn't like traveling that much, to be honest with you. But I was all over the United States doing seminars, teaching. This guy approached me with a group of people and said, "We want to start a television ministry, and we want you to be the minister." Now, Shannon, this has been 15 years ago, okay? I said, I'm not a minister. You know, at the time, I was a businessman. I was up to my neck in business deals and stuff. I said, I'm not a minister. They said, well, we don't care if you're a minister or not. You know how to communicate. You know how to put on a show. And you're passionate when you speak. You have people eating out of your hands in these audiences. We see that. These people, you know, pay a lot of money to come. There may be 1,000 people in this audience, and you have command of that 1,000 people. That tells us you're our man. Now, Shannon, I said, well, I don't know how to be a preacher. They said, oh, we can fill in those gaps for you. Now, these weren't Christian. These were businessmen. They said, they're what you call angel investors. We look for business opportunities, and we look for business models that work, and this is one of the hottest things going. TV preacher. Start a TV ministry. He said, do you know how expensive it is to be on television 5 days a week? It's very expensive. He said, the fact that they're able to buy that airtime tells you they have money rolling in because it's a business model. It was rolling in. So what I'm trying to say is, this makes people so mad when I start saying this, and that's not the point. I'm trying to get you in shape so that you can survive what's coming. And you're not going to be able to work out sitting at Starbucks and having a latte and a cream cheese. You're not going to get in shape that way any more than you are going to get in shape at one of these business model churches where it feels great to go. It feels so good because the music's fantastic. They have professional level musicians and singers, and the sound system is the best money can buy. You are in a concert when you go. The lighting is dimmed and the stage lights, and they have par LED lighting that's computer controlled. I know that. You go there and you have this guy who's a great motivational speaker who knows how to give a message that is uplifting, and you're going to walk out of there and go, golly, that felt good. And it's going to feel good for about 20 minutes, and you get back to life and you do your whole thing. But you know you've got to be back at church next week because that's your insurance policy. That's your fire insurance, your hell insurance. In your mind is, well, if I go to church, you know, I do whatever I want to do during the week, so I guess I can give an hour just to make sure, just in case there's really a place called hell that I won't go there. So I know if I'm going to church and putting my money, like he tells me, in that basket, then I'll be good to go. Well, that's where people are. And the longer I've done this, like I said, from 1980, I've come to understand, and you can see it in people's lives. You can get involved in just about any church, spend 6 months there, and you will see the dynamics within that church. You'll see who really runs it. It's usually not the pastor. It's usually the biggest tither, whatever group, whatever deacon or the name or assignment that they have in that church. They're going to be the ones that really make the decisions. And the pastor just pretends like he makes them and carries them out. He knows they're the ones that control him. And this is just common sense. Anyone can look at that and see. And that, in a lot of instances, is why the secular world looks at the church world and laughs. And that's the truth. That's what they do. They look at it and they say, oh, you got to be kidding me. Now, you have a conversation with someone who's unchurched, and they're telling you how all hell is breaking loose in their life. And you tell them, well, let me tell you, I've got some experience in something called spiritual warfare. And although you've probably never heard about this, have you ever watched those television shows about the hauntings and the houses and the people having these things? Well, 9 out of 10 people will say, oh, yeah, I know. I've seen those shows. And you say, well, you know, that stuff is real. And there's a reason you're having these problems. And more than likely, I can almost certainly tell you, there's an answer for your issues, but you're not going to find it in the church where you visited on Easter or whatever. It's not going to be there. But there's a truth that if you want that truth, I can help you find that truth. Now, Shannon, you know where that conversation leads. They're wanting to know everything. Well, tell me more. I want to hear more. Because people want the reality.
Yes.
When I was a fighter, I started out like everyone else. I started out in the martial arts, and you know a little bit about that. But they have belt ranking systems in the martial arts, and you start out as a white belt. That's the first belt level. You're a beginner. You don't know anything. So when you're a beginner student, your instructor can teach you anything, and you have nothing to judge it by to know whether it's a bunch of malarkey or if it will really work. So the first instructor that I had was in college. I took a college PE course, and it was karate class. Well, that instructor was an ex-Marine and just one of the toughest guys I've ever known. He wasn't a big fella. He was about, you know, 5'7", 5'8", but he's tough and just a great fighter. So he taught me how to do it the right way. And I ended up competing in my first tournament, and I won. I won both sparring and forms competition. So, of course, that hooked me for life. I said, I've got to have more of this. Well, I ended up moving away and, you know, leaving college. So the next one I could find, I wanted to get in. So I went and joined. But it was more of what we call the McDonald's version of karate. We call them McDojos. Because I ended up in the business, and that, what that means is it's a kind of a martial arts light. They tell you some stuff, but it doesn't really work. But you don't know that it doesn't work because you don't know anything. You don't have anything to judge it on. You'll find out it doesn't work after you've been in the program for about a year and a half. And if you ever have to defend yourself or you go to another karate school and there's a tournament and you compete, you find out that what they were teaching you doesn't work. But you'd have no way of knowing it doesn't work without something to compare it to. By the same token, when you've been in a church and you've been there for a while, maybe you grew up there, maybe you've been going for many years, or maybe you've been there 6 months. If they're not teaching you about demons, D-E-M-O-N-S, demons, that's the word, demonic powers, how they get a hold of your life, how they get into your life, and how you can get rid of them and keep the door shut. If they're not teaching that, you are in a Mac church like McDonald's. It's fast food, feel good, with none of the meat that's going to help you. And I can promise you, when you get in the ring to fight the devil, and you're going to have to do that because no one's exempt, you're going to get your butt kicked. You're going to get whooped, as we say. And the only way around that is to learn to fight and learn what you're going to do to deal with the enemy that wants to knock you out. And none of us are exempt. Let me say this for those of you listening in, and you've heard me before, and you know I don't really pull any punches, pardon the pun, of an ex-boxer that I am. All my stuff is kind of hard-hitting, another pun. Wow, I need to write these down.
This is good.
Yeah. But I don't hold back. So when I'm telling you, you're all going to experience these things. And this is for someone. You are going to end up in an unorthodox place. A place that you never imagined you would be. The Lord is going to open doors to get you there, and He's going to shut doors where you currently are. Some of you now have been fighting with all your strength to keep a door open, and God's trying to shut that door. And there's another door that's open, but you're afraid to walk through it because you're afraid of what your church friends are going to say. You're afraid of how man's going to judge you. Let me tell you, the ministry needs are at the in the gutter level. In other words, the most ministry you can do is going to be the messiest ministry that there is. And that's setting people free from the demonic forces that have attached themselves and gotten into their lives through open doors. So for you to be able to defend yourself, you have to know a couple of things. First thing you're going to have to know is that you're vulnerable to attack. You're not impervious. Things are going to happen. The one thing that I have to do every day, every 10 minutes of the day, literally, is pray and say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Keep me covered. Lord, I just bind any demonic spirit on attack, any curse that's sent my way. And you're going to have to do that constantly because you will get attacked. Halloween night this year, about 3 months ago now, 7 p.m., I can tell you to the minute, I bought a new recliner that day for whatever reason. It just happened. My wife wanted a recliner, so I went and bought a new, like, Lazy Boy recliner. Brought it in the house. Yeah, I unloaded it by myself, which was no small thing. Of course, I got it at the discount place, so they don't deliver. I had to deliver myself. So me bringing that big thing in was no small. You know, got it out of the box, got it set up. And I sat down in that chair at about 7 p.m., Halloween night, October 31st. Shannon, all of a sudden, I've always been subject to motion sickness my whole life. In other words, if I'm on a cruise ship or something, I'm going to get real sick. I can't ride in the back seat of a car. You people who have motion sickness know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a horrible feeling. I sat down in that chair, and I was hit with the worst wave of motion sickness out of nowhere. I've never experienced anything like that. I tried to stand up, and I fell back into the chair. I sat in that chair, that new Lazy Boy recliner, for 48 hours. I couldn't get out of the chair, Shannon. The room was spinning like I can't. It was like being on a top and just spinning. After 24 hours, I'm laying there and I can't. Every time I close my eyes, it's worse. Then I open my eyes, the room's spinning. So anyway, I go at it. And I'm just praying because, listen, that's what you'll do when you're under attack, when you are delirious, whatever's in you is going to start coming out and speaking. So when you're a prayer person, that starts coming out. So I'm just, Jesus, Lord, what is going on? What is this? Lord, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is a demonic attack. And of course I replied, okay, we'll get rid of it. And the Lord said, just hold on, keep praying. So I had a whole nother 24 hours to go of sitting there in absolute misery, praying, just, oh Jesus, I bind this thing, I bind it. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had attacks and recently, and things have come against you. Depression is a strong thing that's attacking the body of Christ right now. It took 48 hours. And when I came out of that and recovered, I knew it had been a spiritual attack. It had been a demonic thing that had come on me. Halloween night, of all things. So no one is going to be immune. No one's going to escape this, that's coming. It's going to continue to ramp up. It is ramping up and has been for a while, but it's going to continue in Christians' lives. And if you don't know how to fight, you're going to get your teeth knocked out. So let's talk about getting in shape at the gym. First thing, when you decide you want to go get in shape, you got to do something. You have to make a decision. Make a decision that you're going to get in shape. Especially when you want to box, you have to make the decision, I'm going to be a fighter. A lot of people are inspired by the thought, the concept of calling themselves a fighter, a boxer. But when they get in the ring and they find out it hurts, they're not so enthused anymore. So they kind of fall by the wayside. A lot of people get excited about calling themselves a spiritual warrior and, you know, we're going to get in here and fight with the demons. But then when they find out how absolutely dangerous it is and real, and if they're not prepared, they will get hurt. Then they're not so enthused about it anymore. But what they don't realize is they're easy pickings for the devil. He sits on the side of the ring and waits until you're at a vulnerable time. And then he knows where he's going to attack you. And most of the time, you're going to be completely helpless to defend yourself. So first thing you have to say is, I'm going to be a fighter. I'm going to make my mind up that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up when the going gets tough. I'm going to stay in there and I'm going to fight. I'm going to do the training that's necessary. So you have to develop what we call a fighter's mindset. One thing I always told my guys when I trained fighters in the physical and the natural, there are no part-time fighters, Shannon. It's like if you told me, Rick, I'm a part-time man. No, you're either a man all the time or you're a man none of the time. It's like kind of like saying your beautiful wife is, well, she's pregnant part of the time. No, she's pregnant right now. It's a condition that doesn't leave you. You're either a fighter or you're not. You know, they have a saying in prison where, you know, I do a prison ministry. You are either going to be a victim or a victor. There's no one neutral in there. They size you up when you go to prison. And if you look like you can be extorted, you will get extorted. If you look like the kind of target that I used to call a hard target, they don't bother you. So what you want to do as a Christian is make yourself a hard target for the demons. How do you do that? The first thing you do is you start to take your thoughts captive. You have to be in charge of you. No one else can do it for you. No one else has the ability to do it for you. But you can do it. You know, I love what Paul said in Philippians. Philippians 2 and 12, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what he's telling them, I can't be here to hold your hand the whole time. You are going to have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You're going to have to do this. So to fight, you have to figure out what you're going to fight, first of all. Who's your opponent? What is your opponent? Let's start at the very root of it. Everyone listening to this, everyone in this big blue globe, this world we live in, has issues. Some have more than others. Some have a lot more than others, but we all have issues. Those issues come about from the time we're children up into the present time, and it can be anything from abuse, child abuse, molestation, extreme fear, abandonment, ridicule, criticism. You can go down the list. The things that are said to you. Now, those words have meaning. They wound you. They create a soul wound. And where that wound is, a gap is created. It breaks a piece of your heart off. I have something I teach and talk about called the broken heart model. So every time something is done to you that a little piece of your heart breaks off, until it is ever addressed and restored, there's an open gaping wound there. Now, what happens when you have an open wound? Infection gets in. That's why you have to close up and heal a wound. If you have a wound that starts to scab over, but you continually pick the scab off of the wound, it'll never heal, and infection starts to set in. Satan makes sure when you've been wounded at some point in your life, he will send people and circumstances to continually pull the scab off of that wound. If you were rejected by one of your parents, or your first girlfriend or boyfriend, the first love of your life, your puppy love, as you know they used to say, if you were rejected, that can open up a wound that sets you up for a spirit of rejection the rest of your life. And you will choose people who will reject you. Hello. I know of which I speak. I know about these things because I've lived it. Some of you know my story. I was born out of wedlock, given up for adoption. So I had a root of rejection. I had that curse, the bastard child curse. And we won't go into all that tonight. That's a whole different thing. But I was wounded. So what did I do? I set on a life course that attracted people. I was attracted to people who would wound me. Now, I didn't know that. All I knew was, there's something about that person that I like. And I would allow myself to get in a friendship with them, or if it was a romantic thing, I would let myself get romantically involved. But it would always end badly because I had a wound that the scab was continually being pulled off. And the thing about a wound that's scabbed over, when you pull a scab off, that wound gets a little bit bigger each time you pull the scab off. It's expanding its territory. So if you just continually did that with a wound, at some point, your whole body would be a walking scab. You'd be one big scab. That's what happens in the spirit with a lot of us. Some of us are walking open wounds. And because of that, we attract destruction into our lives. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, saved or unsaved, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, when it comes to you being attacked by these things, these issues, these demonic entities that have an access, a hold point to you. When I was, again, I was an atheist, 1980, 21 years old, played guitar and taught karate, had a rock and roll lifestyle, laughed at God. The last thing I was interested in is any kind of God stuff. Met these three people, total strangers. Within an hour, they had laid their hands on me, and I let them, and they prayed, and I began to speak in a language I'd never heard of speaking in tongues, much less done it. Or heard anyone do it, but I was completely and miraculously born again. So even though I had that experience and I was, I was on fire. Some of you remember when you had that born again experience, hopefully you've had, maybe you've never had that. You need to have it. I was so excited. All I could talk about was this Jesus thing. My life, my world changed. Everything changed. But no one taught me about the open wounds that I had from my past. No one told me that, listen, You're going to be on a spiritual high for a while, and the Holy Spirit is going to put you in a bubble like a baby is protected in a bubble. A baby is protected. He's given a, you know, if he's born in the hospital, they put them in the little, the nurses are there to take care of them in the little crib thing. And they're fed and they're nurtured and they're nourished. So as a baby Christian, you have to be in that little protective bubble for a while. And the Holy Spirit sends people to help you do that. But there'll come a time when that baby grows a little bit and starts to venture outside to play. He may fall down and break his arm. That's what babies do sometimes. They get hurt. Well, as an adult, as a born-again Christian, you're going to have things that are going to start to come back on you. And those issues that had not been dealt with, when I started to cool off from my born-again experience, you know, I was on fire, and it probably lasted for me a year and a half. I mean, I was rolling, man. When you go from being a stone-cold atheist like I was, that laughed at and mocked God and should have been dead 15 times before I was 21, when you get that Road to Damascus on fire experience, dude, you're the real deal. It turned me around, turned me on, so much that my family wanted to disown me because I was too religious, quote unquote. But after it starts to cool off, and those little strongholds, those broken hearts, the pieces that were never mended, that the demons couldn't quite get to while you still had that glow going on, that fire, when God says, okay, now you're ready to step out and you got to get out in that world and start doing some things, those little broken pieces start to give way to the influences, the demonic stuff that comes on into your life. And then one little thing, line upon line, precept upon precept, one little step after another, you wake up one day and you say, how in the world did I get here from where I was? Most of us have had that experience. I'm telling you, the reason that you had that experience is because you never understood that this could actually even happen. And when you tell people this for the first time, I'm talking exclusively now about Christian people, church people, because, you know, ministers like myself and you, we tend to travel in church circles. The people we associate with are usually church people. They're Christian people. When you tell them this for the first time, they go, whoa, wait a minute. What did you say? What? You got to tell me more of that. I've never heard this. And you have a window of opportunity there to completely give them the truth. Now, whether they can accept it or not, when there are strongholds in a person's life, I've experienced that it's very difficult sometimes for them to come to the knowledge, the truth, because the truth is going to set them free. Not religion, not 15 more sermons, the truth. And that's what, back to Donald Trump, that's what Donald Trump represented, was the truth. And that's why he was elected, because the truth, listen, the truth resonated with enough Americans that they lined up for hours to go and vote. I took a picture with my cell phone. I went and did early voting where I live in Texas. And there was a line of probably 200 people at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon at the county voting place. They were lined up out the door. There was not a parking place in this huge municipal parking lot because they were lined up to vote. I'd never seen that in my life. I'd heard that from people all around America. The lines, the crowds that Donald Trump was drawing to those stadiums, they were in line for 2 days in some instances to see this man. 10,000 of them could get in and 20,000 would be out on the street still waiting to get in. Why was that happening? Because he was telling the truth. People are drawn to the truth, Shannon. We can't help it. There's a little thing in us that when you hear a little bit of the truth, even though you've been living in a lie, you've been living in darkness, you've been fed propaganda and fabrication and lies, when you hear that truth, something in you, like the Christians I talk to, says, wait a minute, whoa, what did you say? man, I need to hear more of that. I need to hear more of that. The same way Donald Trump hit the truth nerve, when you talk about this spiritual warfare thing with people who will listen, it hits a truth nerve with them. Listen, this has happened in the last, I'll say, 2 months. I've had so many chance encounters. So, I was at the hospital in the waiting area for a baby. Someone's having a baby. It was actually my daughter was having a little boy. And I was in the waiting room. It was a Saturday morning, about 9 a.m. And I had my Bible. When I go sit at the hospital, I just take my Bible and I'm not trying to be a, you know, holier than thou or anything. That's just what I read. That's what I like to read. So I had my Bible. I was sitting over in my corner being antisocial, like I tend to do when I'm at a place like that. I just kind of want to sit over there and read. There's one other guy in the whole room, and he's on the other end. And you can tell he's over in the other corner, kind of trying to be quiet to himself. And the Holy Spirit tells me, that's so-and-so. And it was a name of a pastor of a mega church in Texas. Mega church. So, and the Holy Spirit said, get up and go over and introduce yourself and talk to this man. I said, oh man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know that feeling. Holy Spirit won't leave you alone. He says, get up, go over there, introduce yourself. So the second time I said, Lord, I'm going to have to do this, aren't I? Get up. I said, okay, I got it. So I walk over there and I'm in the waiting room. My wife's back in the delivery thing, which you're going to have experience with this here real shortly, Shannon. You know, but only so many people can be back there at a time, right? It's a limit over here in the States. That's how that works. So I go over to the guy and I say, hey, excuse me, are you so-and-so? And he's, yeah. And I have my Bible in my hand. You know, I look like a street evangelist. And I say, well, yeah, he said, well, how's it going? I said, it's going good. He said, what's the Lord showing you? Well, he shouldn't have even said that, Shannon. Something came over me, and I'm in this waiting room, and there's, you know, 100 seats in there, but we're the only two men in there. I started preaching a sermon to this man, and this was, I'm guessing, 9 o'clock in the morning, maybe 9:15 a.m. His wife comes out. She's been back there with their daughter is having a baby at the same time. His wife comes out, sits next to him, and I'm about 30 minutes into this sermon, and I can't shut up. And people are walking by me. I've got this Bible, and I'm, you know, holding it up, and I'm saying, and let me tell you, we're wrestling against demonic forces, brother. And this man, I'm thinking he's coming out. He keeps jumping out of this seat saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, preach it, brother. It's like a revival. And we're in the hospital. You know, they don't really like loudness in the hospital. People are around and they're looking, they're walking, they're making, clearing a path. And I can't shut up. My wife sends someone out, another family member, to check on me. What's happened to him? I stood there for 3 hours and went over from A to Z spiritual warfare with this pastor and his wife. And then his other daughter, one of his daughters was having a baby. The other daughter joined us. She was there. So they're sitting there. And Shannon, I'm a layman. I don't know anything. Just what God's given me. They're taking notes. He said, give me my notes. I got to have this. I got to teach this. He's taking notes over everything I'm saying. And God would just, as you know, lead me off one thing onto another. And I apologized a couple of times. I said, man, I'm not meaning to stand here and preach. He goes, no. He said, don't stop. You don't know what you're saying, what I've tried to say for the last 2 years, but I didn't have this way, these analogies that you're using. I get it. So at 12 noon, I started at 9, at around 12, I'm exhausted. I've been, I'm standing on my feet. I haven't sat down. I've just been literally preaching to this man who has a huge church, television ministry type thing. He said, can you come to my church and teach what you... He said, I could never teach this the way you just taught it because this is in you, brother. This is in you. He said, you are a preacher. I said, no, sir, I'm not a preacher. He said, no, sir, you are a preacher. He said, when you have a preacher like me and my wife jumping out of our seat saying amen, God has anointed you to do this. Okay, so I'm telling you all that just to say in the last 2 months, this thing has been recurring. That was one thing. Then I get a phone call within 24 hours of another pastor of a church. Now, Shannon, I don't get invited to many churches. Imagine that. I don't get those invitations because this stuff's a little bit strong for them. I get a call. Pastor, a guy I know, says, man, the Holy Spirit told me to call you. I need you. I need you to come preach. I said, okay, when do you need me? He said, Sunday. Okay, and this was like Thursday. I said, this Sunday? He said, I need you Sunday. Can you do it? I said, I'll be there. Went and did that, and Holy Spirit again showed up, and no credit to me, but I'm telling you, this message that we talk about, this Holy Spirit stuff, that people have issues, and they're demonic, and how to shut the doors, how to recognize something's broken in you, how to get it fixed. People are starving for this. Finished with that. 2 days later, another church. I guess I can say this. I'm always guarded. I don't like to identify people on the radio. You know, because this thing will be in the archives for years. And I'm always sensitive to identifying people. And so this other pastor who is affiliated with where my wife works, I'll just say that much. He was coming in for an appointment and he always wants to hear what the Lord's been telling me. So he asks my wife, get him to give me a word. You know, that's... No one really wants to hear somebody say, hey, man, give me a word, because it puts you on the spot and you think, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord, don't let me say something that's going to be so far off that it's going to lead this man down a wrong path. She said, brother so-and-so wants a word. I said, I told her a word. It was like two sentences. I said, that's what the Lord just gave me. She said, I can't remember all that. Write it down. So she was going to work at 7 a.m. So she wakes up at 6 and she says, you need to write down Pastor so-and-so's word. I'll go to the computer. You know, I start writing. And, you know, 2,000 words later, because when it starts writing, it just starts flowing. It's about 2,000 words, which is about, I don't know, 3 pages, whatever. Something like that. And I don't even remember what it was, because when it's flowing, so I give it to her and she takes it to the pastor and he calls and says, you don't know how timely that word is. I need you to come preach Sunday. You know, it's the same, it's like the same thing that repeats over and over. So I go and do it. And every time I do, and it's, I don't go in there and tell them how wrong everybody is, because they don't, I just gently, like you would teach someone at a gym who's coming in learning to, wants to learn to fight. You don't put him in the first night and punch him in the nose and say, well, that's your first lesson. That's how it feels to get punched in the nose, because you'll never see him again. Hello. So you gently talk and you give them these introductory things, but they're so hungry and they're just starving and they lap it up and they get it. So I know that there's a hunger and there's a famine in the land. His people have not been taught this. I wasn't taught it, and it caused me to go way off the tracks, way off the tracks. So that's in 2017. I'm gonna title this message, "The 2017 Holy Ghost Workout Part One." The 2017 Holy Ghost Workout Part One.
And, Holy Ghost,
The 2017. Yeah, the 2017 Holy Ghost Workout, Part 1, 2017.
Folks, have you enjoyed tonight? I sure have. Where did the time go? An hour blew by.
Yeah.
I'm going to get with the Rick. We're going to get his schedule worked out. We're going to get him back on. We're going to do part two. He's got a whole series.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent word tonight. I'm excited, brother, to have you back on in this new year. And before we continue the marathon tonight, Rick, I want you to tell people about your ministry, Heavenly Warriors, how they can contact you, and how they can support your ministry.
Yeah, heavenlywarriors.com. That's the website. Just heavenlywarriors.com, and there's a contact button there that you can contact me, and I'll get back to you. Sometimes it's difficult because I get so busy with work. You know, the thing that we have to do is support the ministry because for whatever reason, many people will reach out, Shannon, and I know you're familiar with this. Many people will want prayer and want help, but not many people will support the ministry, the effort, you know, financially, and there are bills that have to be paid. I mean, I have something called electricity at this house, and for some reason it wants to be paid every month. So I would encourage for the people who partake of not just my ministry. Look, I'm not looking for your money, but I know there are a lot of ministries out there who could really use the financial help. And when we dedicate time, you know, to work with people, minister with them, that's money. I mean, it takes away from your job that you're having to earn money to pay the bills. So that ends up being kind of a stumbling block, if you will, because you have to take work, secular work, to be able to pay the bills so that, you know, I can go do the prison ministry, which of course is free. And, you know, you don't charge anything to the prison to go. And all the other ministry stuff that I do is all, you know, I don't charge for anything. But it's just nice if people, you know, will support you. The ones that are wanting the help, I want to give the help to them when I have the time to do it. And one of the ways to do that is to try to support different ministries, not just mine. But that's just kind of a blanket statement. So, yes, I will help you when you call. One of the things that I have experienced and learned, and when you're in this ministry for a while, you learn the ropes and how it works, and Shannon will know this. You have to be wise because there are witches and warlocks listening to this program. They will hear this if they're not listening live. They are. They'll catch it in the archives, and they will send people to you to waste your resources as a minister. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I suppose that it has if you've been doing this for any length of time. There are people that will absolutely monopolize your time and your resources and never really have any intention of staying free, getting free, and staying free. Some of them will just take the time up. So you have to be aware of those and let the Holy Spirit guide you. When you first get into this thing, you just want to jump off and go help everyone. Man, you know, just whoever. You got a problem, I'm on the way. Well, the Holy Spirit checked me on that not long after I'd been in this, when I was just running ragged, and he said, you're going to have to use some discernment. Some people, you're going to need to go help, and you're going to have to listen to me. I'll show you those. But some of them, you're going to have to shake the dust from your feet, because all they're going to do is waste your resources, and you only have limited resources. You only have limited time, limited emotion, physical, and you can only do so much before you're spent and you're just burned out. You ever been burned out, Shannon, when you didn't have any energy to minister to anyone else when someone probably needed it?
Absolutely. I've hit that E on the tank many times.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's kind of all you know, all I wanted to say about that. But yeah, I encourage people to listen. I'll be back on Omega Man, and I've missed being here with Shannon. I love you, brother. You're out there fighting the fight on the front line, I can't say enough about. I know what you go through to be able to do this like you do. So any little tiny bit of help that I can do by giving you an hour of my time, I'm happy to do it. All you have to do is ask, and we'll get it set up and scheduled, and I'll pour out whatever I have to pour out to to the great people that that are out there wanting some help. God bless you.
My brother, God bless you. Excellent word, Pastor Rick. We're going to have Rick Bell back on, heavenlywarriors.com, and I'll have this up in the archive and get you a copy as well, Pastor Rick, in a few hours. My brother, we love you, and I'm looking forward to working with you in 2017.
Love
God
you
put
too,
us
man.
Together. Peace. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next time, Pastor Rick.
God bless you. Bye now.